successfully invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ziprecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken to them, and apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
Flu season is here, and with COVID-19, it's more important than ever to be sure you and your family are protected. To help, Total Urgent Care in Cutoff is now offering flu shots. Our fight against COVID-19 also continues with rapid testing and a commitment to stringent stop the spread safety protocols. Total Urgent Care in Cutoff, open 7 days a week, now with flu shots. Walk in or schedule online at mytotalurgentcare.com.
The internet can be a great resource for learning and fun. From researching to gaming to communicating, being online provides many possibilities. But cyberspace can also be dangerous. Oversharing and bullying can lead to embarrassing situations and dangerous predicaments. Protect yourself from those wishing to do harm. Learn more tips at agjefflandry.com/cybersafety. Let's stay safe online.
The opinions, findings, and conclusions or recommendations expressed here are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Department of Justice or LCLE, Office of Justice Program, Subgrant 2018.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour number 2, Rafael Esparza will join us in 15 minutes. We'll talk about Conor McGregor and Lafayette Nation. Did you know? Dustin's from Lafayette. He lives in Lafayette. He's going to be facing Conor McGregor. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that.
You didn't know
yes,
that.
Yes, I did.
You didn't know that. Marlon Fayright, 215.
Swear.
And we may hear from Coach Leah Stansil of the Tulane Green Wave. She is the swim coach. Why are we talking to swim? The Olympics. She's the head coach of actually Barbados' national swim team. And a Tulane student's going to be going to the Olympics for that here as well. So we may chat with her here in a quick sec. First, though.
It's Friday. Gotta get down Friday.
Jordan, you feel better hour number 2 now? You feel
I
better
do feel
than
better.
Hour number 1?
I do.
Than the bare knuckle interview?
Oh, yeah.
Pique your interest a little? Provide a little energy to you? Yay, nay, maybe?
Absolutely.
Are you just looking forward to the weekend? We've got a couple of soccer matches coming up, right? Tomorrow night, Argentina, Brazil. Copa America Finals, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. I think FS1 is the one that's showing it. Also, any of the Spanish stations, Telemundo, what have you. England, Italy, the Euro Cup Championship, 2 p.m., Jordan, 2 p.m. on Sunday. And then the Americans, yes, Team USA taking on Haiti in their opening match of the Gold Cup, 7:30 Sunday night. And then also on Sunday, you know what else? Game 3 of your NBA Finals, Game 2 last night, Suns going up 2-0, 118-108. The final, Giannis. 42 points, not enough. Devin Booker and Chris Paul continuing to play outstanding basketball. Booker, 31 points. Paul, 23 points. In the two games combined, Jordan, how many points total?
113.
113 combined.
Must be nice.
Drew Holiday, 1 3-pointer. 21-28, he's missed. Shots. Do the math. That means he's only made 7 shots. I feel for him.
Stop attacking Drew.
I'm not attacking. I actually feel for him. Drew after the game.
I mean, he's one of the elite scorers in this game. He's put in the work and he's practiced for it, just like
we've done the same. But he's damn near perfected it and has been on a roll and been on a tear. So difficulty, yes, but still not impossible for us to do a little bit more.
That's him trying to defend or talk about Devin Booker, who, as I mentioned, put 31 last night. He's do you think that's taking out of his offensive, just trying to stop and combine those two guys? He's on CP, he's on Book.
What, is energy-wise?
Yeah. I mean, it zaps your legs, man.
I mean, if he's allowing them to put up the numbers that he's doing, I don't know how much energy he's really wasting on the defensive side of the ball.
Think so? No. After watching two games, do you think the Bucks?
I think it's over.
It's over?
It's over.
I think pretty much it's over because I don't know that Phoenix, which has played well on the road throughout the playoffs, so I don't know if going back to Milwaukee is intimidating to them. All they got to do is get one. Just get one.
I'll say this again.
All the pressure's off of Phoenix.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They did their job. They had to win both games at home. Mm-hmm. They did that. Now the pressure's really on the Bucks because now you have to win both your games at home.
Oh, you have. I mean, game three is going to be absurd, right? I mean, the energy and atmosphere. How about the fact that there's 20,000 outside of the arena?
Did you see that? The only thing they were cheering for last night was whenever they appeared on the big screen.
I'm being dead serious. Like, this isn't, I'm not picking on Pels or Pels. So I'm going to say this. Saints at somebody next year in a playoff game. Champion Square says, come watch the game. Are we getting 20,000 out there? Saints Niners in San Fran. I'm just being honest. Like, I don't know if this city and people like that. I was just like, I'm having you over, or I'm going to a bar. Maybe we go to bars more often here. I'm just, yeah, 20,000. Like, that wasn't like 2,000 or 12,000. 20,000. That's more than the arena.
Well, you gotta understand, it's also in, not throwing shade to Milwaukee.
No, I know.
But it's Milwaukee.
What do you say? There's nowhere else to go? No one else to do?
What's the nightlife?
See, that's, what no,
the,
what's don't
the
night, be like
what's
that.
What's the nightlife really
Stop
in Milwaukee?
Stop it. No. I'm just saying that's, I mean, isn't that a tremendous thing?
No, that's awesome. I wish the Pelicans and the Saints had something like that during games, mm-hmm. to where, you know, you could pan outside with the camera and show that on television. But it's
20,000, man. Was it called Deer Park or Deer Valley or something?
I don't know.
Happy Deer? Sad Deer? It's Deer something. You know? It's something of that nature. 20,000 fans, man. It's incredible when you think about it, right? Don't you think?
That is going to be something. I kind of switch into the Olympics. Better than no fans.
Yeah, that does kind of stink. Friday, July 23rd, the Tokyo Games will begin. But you know what? There's always great storylines.
Yes,
not only
absolutely
athletes working so hard to do that, but also you don't ever really think sometimes about the people that actually get to go out there and coach these teams. And right here in our own backyard in Uptown New Orleans, to be exact, we bring in Tulane University swimming head coach Leah Stansel as one of her swimmers, and she will be heading to Tokyo. Coach, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for some time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
For sure. So you're going to be serving as the head coach for the Barbados national team. Got to be a tremendous honor, huh?
Yes, most definitely. I was born and raised in Barbados, and I competed for Barbados, so this is a huge honor for me.
What is it like to compete for your country? I know a lot of times we hear about that, we hear the stories, but for somebody that actually has done so, what's the meaning behind it, do you think, to athletes?
It is a huge honor because you are representing an entire country. You know, your performance is, a lot of the time, sports is one of the best things to bring a country together, and you're helping do that for your country that you're representing. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge honor. It's a fun honor to have. And so I think it means a lot for these athletes.
I think when you look at the fact, too, that the work that a lot of these athletes put in to get there, and again, it's competition, it's every 4 years. Is it a different level of pressure? I mean, obviously you're the swim coach here locally and you get ready for meets and you practice and you do that. But I'm just trying to think if the pressure is any different knowing that this is it. I mean, you've worked years. You've done qualifying. You've gone through national trials to get selected to be on the team. And here it is, that one race, that one event to do it. Is it different than normal competition?
I think it depends a lot on the athlete, and it depends a lot on maybe the country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times, they're going through the trials of it. So, for example, for U.S. Olympic trials, I think that is can be a very stressful situation for those athletes. And by the time that they reach Olympics, it's almost like a relief because they're there, they're representing their country, and all the work is preparing to get the opportunity to represent the country. So I think it depends on the athlete. I think it depends on the sport. But it, at the end of the day, making it, getting there is like the biggest, it's the, like the end of the journey almost. Mm-hmm. And it's just an excitement and a pleasure and an honor to just be there to participate.
Speaking with Leah Stansel, head coach of Tulane University swimming, but also the Barbados national team. What kind of an honor is it to have a Greenie actually swimming for Barbados along with you going to Tokyo, sophomore Danielle Titus?
Oh, it is such a great honor. It's so fun to be able to, you know, as I mentioned, we're representing our country, but we're also representing the university, and it's bringing honor, and it's making Tulane even more. Tulane's already on the world stage academically. Mm-hmm. And it's great to bring it to the world stage also athletically. So I think it's just a fun thing to experience. The support that we've received has been phenomenal. And we're just looking to represent everyone well.
Coach, you're a two-time Olympian, and you got a couple of national records for your country here as well. When you look at the competition that's there, I think one thing that's always amazed me is you hear this phrase all the time, Coach. You're familiar with this, right? You're facing the best of the best and all that. But they truly are some incredible athletes they'd be facing. Obviously, Ledecky is one that is talked about here as an American swimmer and stuff. But we've seen what Phelps has been able to do in the pool. But when you coach your I guess, swimmers, or even when you competed, especially in swimming, do you think of the competition you're with? Do you understand sort of like what you have to do against them, or are you just kind of focus on what you do individually?
For myself, when I competed, a lot of it was trying to focus on what I am doing individually, what I did to prepare to compete. And that's what I try to teach Danielle, to focus on what she is doing, because she, you know, you can't control anything a competitor is doing, what a competitor has experienced. You don't know what a competitor experienced. So everyone has a different experience, and the best thing is to focus on what you are doing, what you're doing to prepare. I mean, everyone is aware of those athletes, and those athletes have their own, you know, they have their own pressures that they have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so it's really unproductive to focus on them when you really can't control anything that they're doing. So for me, for my competition, it was really helpful to be able, I had a lot of preparation and I competed a lot. And a lot of the people that I competed with in the final and at Olympics, I had already competed years prior.
Gotcha. So you had some sort of experience and kind of knew what you were up against, right?
Yes. Yes.
Kind of touch on Danielle before we wrap up with how she's started. I mean, obviously she's a sophomore, but she kind of started her career pretty good over there at Tulane, huh?
Yes, she did. She broke her team record in the 100 backstroke, which is her best event, and that's the event she's going to be competing at the Olympics in. And so she is a huge asset for the team, and the team is so proud of her and so excited to hear how she does at Olympics.
I guess leave us with this. How difficult has it been, obviously, this past season with COVID and everything? Jordan kind of mentioned it right before we came to you, Coach, that you know, no fans are going to be allowed. They're having an issue there as well. We've seen, obviously, the walking of the athletes entering and starting the ceremonies and doing that. Having been twice yourself, you think that's an element that's missed? Or, as you've mentioned already, when you're there competing, you're so kind of locked in that you maybe don't hear the crowds at the pools and stuff? Or do you think that's going to be an element that maybe affects competition these Olympics, not having fans?
I think it depends on the athlete. I think for sure it would affect, you know, the spirit of Olympics and the atmosphere of Olympics. But because of the past year, especially at least for swimmers within the college season, that's how it was for us. You know, there were no spectators at any competition. There was no, there was only the athletes and the coaches there. And so there were already restrictions set in place. Okay. Within college. So it's for swimming, it may not be too different for college athletes, but it does definitely affect the spirit of Olympics.
Well, Coach, congratulations to you and, of course, sophomore Danielle Titus. You guys are going to be competing for Barbados, but also representing Tulane. So we'll keep an eye as well once the Olympics does begin. When do y'all leave for Tokyo?
Monday. A lot of preparation has been happening.
There you go. Leah Stansel, head coach for Tulane and also the head coach for the Barbados national swim team as well. Congrats, Coach, and you guys have fun and, you know, let's see what happens.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yep, for sure. Coach Leah Stansel and Danielle Titus of Tulane heading over to the Olympics. Jordan, could you have competed in the Olympics?
Probably not.
No? Which sport do you think you could have, because as you said, you could have been a tight end at LSU. You could take Steph Curry one-on-one. What are some of the more other remarkable things you said?
I might be able to, like, go on a bike or something.
A bike? Yeah, you could probably cycle a little bit, huh?
Cycle a little bit. I'll probably
do a couple miles, though.
Yeah. I'll probably be last.
What about speed walking? Could you speed walk?
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, you
table
like,
tennis.
What are you, 6'3", 6'4"? You got some long legs.
Do they have badminton?
They do have badminton.
Maybe some badminton.
I don't know if you could do the ping pong, dude. That's absurd.
That is next. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, when you're standing 25 feet away from the table. I don't know. So you're going badminton. You could have been an Olympic badmintonist.
Hit around the old shuttlecock.
Okay, there you go. Rafael Esparza is up next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Make this the summer event at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right ones should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start.
Thank you.
And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
At VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow Senor Vegas. Rafael Esparza has so much to talk about. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, you know, Jordan just said that he could have been an Olympic badmintonist. Or badminton. Somebody that plays badminton.
I don't see it. I've seen his coordination. I don't see it.
You don't think so? You don't think so? What is your... Go ahead, Jordan.
I've gotten the dollar store like the Dollar Tree.
The Dollar Tree version of badminton.
Play badminton.
Yeah, for the backyard. I got what Olympic sport, Raphael, do you think you could have at least tried to compete in?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know. When I was young, when I was playing hoops, I always wanted to play basketball for Olympics, but health and heart didn't let me do that. So that's a hard one because after I couldn't do any sports when I was a kid, when I couldn't, had to retire, it all went into numbers and booking.
I can see you being a swimmer.
You think so? You think Raphael? He is kind of tall. It could be, you know.
Got some long. He's got a big wingspan.
Maybe diving. If I had to pick a water sport, I would do diving instead of swimming.
Yeah. But the fear of hitting your head on the back of the diving board would scare me a bit. Speaking of betting, and then we'll move off of the Olympics though here. But it starts Friday, July 23rd, and goes through Sunday, August 8th. Is it a big event where you do see betting and stuff? Because it's kind of hard because you really don't know a lot of the people, or is some of the action, this country or I don't know. Is it a big gambling thing worldwide?
Yeah, I mean, for summer, it's always, of course, basketball and soccer would be the two biggest ones. Both beach and indoor volleyball gets a lot of betting action. Mm. Track and field gets a lot of betting action. You would think swimming, just because of how we dominated and just the famous names throughout the years in swimming and gymnastics, but nothing too outrageous for those two. But, of course, basketball and soccer lead the Olympics.
I know you like to do your prop bets for all kinds of things. Are you doing one for the next golfer whose golf club gets stolen out of his bag like Rory McIlroy did?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I just like how they just stood there and watched the guy. Like, they didn't run after him. You have a whole bag of clubs. Pick a club and go chase the guy that stole your club.
I think they were just kind of wondering if it was like some sort of spoof or something, right? I mean, like, because he kind of looked at it matter-of-factly. He grabbed it and got the club cover, but he had to go back to go get the club. So, like you said, it wasn't even kind of that fast. You know, it was strange.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird, but again, they just sat there and watched it. I mean, you have a full bag of weapons. Use one.
Zaila Avangard, sir. $50,000 cash is her prize money for winning the spelling bee, but obviously an even bigger statement, the first African-American woman, or just African-American, to win the spelling bee. Oh, by the way, she's insanely athletic. Like, massive. She has Guinness World Records for juggling and things of that nature. She's an incredible basketball player as well. I mean, dude, did you, because I know you do the spelling bee thing. Where did you have her odds-wise?
We didn't have her. We had, of course, male or female. We had those types, but we didn't have individual names.
Okay.
It's hard to find individual names who's going to be on there. But I just want to say for the spelling bee in general, a complete F. Why are you competing with the NBA Finals? Why are you putting it?
I agree.
And no marketing whatsoever for this. I totally forgot about this. Total F. That's like putting the ESPYs on the same night as UFC 264.
Yeah,
what are
just,
you doing? Complete F.
I agree. You could have done it tonight. You could have done it tomorrow night. You know, the next NBA. I have no idea why you would. Hey, I want to say it used to be in the afternoon, huh? I remember it used to be like at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. I'm absolutely with you. My phone starts going bananas, and I'm in the middle of watching the finals. It's the third quarter, and I'm like, what just happened? And everyone's like, she's from Louisiana. She's from Harvey. She's from the West Bank. I'm like, I would have watched. I mean, at least the end right there. I'm with you. That was a fail by ESPN there.
I couldn't agree more. Complete F for ESPN right there. I guess they were talking about Aaron Rodgers' talk instead of putting the spelling bee in a different time spot.
Well, look, you know what? You keep making fun of that, but Jordan, didn't we? How many bites did we cut this week on Aaron Rodgers? I mean, at least I don't know, four.
Well, at least five, because there was one every single day of the week.
Every single day. Do you have anything on Aaron Rodgers today?
There was something. It's Friday, and I don't feel like it's a good day.
Okay, all right, I got you. But there is something that I do want you to hear. This is Daniel Cormier over on ESPN this morning, Raphael, talking about tomorrow's big match over in USC involving Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier.
This gives him an ending to a rivalry, right? Because it's not for a title. But there comes a time when a fighter doesn't need to be fighting for a championship. The only one that can do that right now in MMA is Conor McGregor. He gets Dustin Poirier only 6 months after being knocked out by Dustin Poirier. And if he can win, it ends this rivalry, but also sets him up for a title fight at the end of the year. So there's big stakes on this fight for McGregor.
Do you agree?
Totally agree. I mean, only McGregor could pull off a main event at T-Mobile Arena sold out for UFC 264 for a non-title match. I mean, that's why the UFCs, they're praying right now. They're on their knees praying that Conor wins. No disrespect to the Diamond, but he does not move a needle. He does not bring in pay-per-view dollars and pay-per-view buys. That's why they need Conor to win this, and that's why the money continues to come on the Diamond. Conor McGregor will probably, probably a plus 130 underdog when he gets in the octagon.
Come, no one's talking about Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy, the former NFL guy, he's in the ring again, 7-3, won no contest. How do you say his opponent's name? Ty Tuivasa.
Yes, Tuivasa. Tuivasa should win this one. I think Hardy needs to make this a longer fight. I think if Tuivasa gets Hardy early with his striking, then Hardy's going to sleep. But if Hardy can make it to the second and maybe the third round, Tuivasa tires out easy, then I think Hardy's got a shot.
Got a ladies match here as well. Who you like in that one?
It's a tough one. There's a couple good ones. Jessica Eye returns back into the ring as well. Jennifer Maria. I like Kiana. I'm not even going to try to butcher her name against Irina Alda.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that it. It's Kuti Yankaya or something like that.
Yeah, that's going to be a fantastic fight as well. I think the female ones will be probably, I think, the more action one. Out of all the fights out there, maybe Gilbert Burns, Thompson. I think that has fight of the night written all over it.
Yeah, I was going to say Burns and Thompson, the other co-main event, welterweight. Why do you think this might be the one that steals it?
Burns coming off a bad loss where when he was trying to be a heavyweight champ. Thompson wants that shot of the title if he can win this fight. I think there's just a lot of stakes on this one, and Thompson, he's not afraid. He's long and lengthy. His leg kicks are unbelievably striking. It's going to be a fun fight. I think this one probably goes a little bit longer. That's why the over has been pounded to over 2.5 rounds. It's going to be a very entertaining fight, and I think it's going to be a lot of fireworks in that one.
I think one of the other aspects of it is you know, we were speaking with David Feldman, president of the Bare Knuckle FC. What do you think of that, man? Have you been watching that in how that's growing as a sport?
It's growing, but not as quickly as I think they wanted it to. I mean, they've signed some big names. I mean, I think, 2 weeks, you have Paige Van Zandt versus Rachel. I can't think of her last name. Or Ostrich coming up. It's not getting the pay-per-view buys I think they want to. And I think some people, some diehard MMA, think it's too barbaric when it's just bare knuckles. I mean, it can get very ugly and bloody really, really quickly. So I think some people just think it's just a tad too barbaric. At least in UFC and Bellator, they do have some gloves and they do have some tap outs in that bloody octagon or ring that you want to call it in BKFC.
The Joker just won in 3 sets, 7-6, 7-5, 7-5, 3 sets away from another Wimbledon title and then 3/4 of the way to a Grand Slam. I don't know if that's been really touched on as much as well. He's got to be the favorite, obviously, to win it Sunday for the men's final. If he does, though, I mean, the U.S. Open's left. Can he get the Grand Slam?
Man, if he does, how do you not put him up on Mount Rushmore?
I was going to say.
I know a lot of people don't want to put him up there, but how do you not? I mean, he'll be a huge favorite for the U.S. Open. He'll be a huge favorite Sunday for the final. He's just right now, he's just rolling.
He looks stronger, too. I mean, what I mean is, like, you can see, like, with Federer, Father Time, right? Nadal, I mean, occasionally you'll see these guys, you know, battle it out. Serena, same thing. It's just by the time they get to the finals, you almost forget that these Grand Slam matches, they're 2 weeks long. I mean, they're a while to get to that finals. And I think the older you get, your body just kind of goes. I'm just impressed how, last year he beat Federer in that five, set match, and like Djokovic can still play hours of tennis and still look dominant. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. He gets stronger throughout the tournaments, and the way he's looking right now, he's unbelievable. I mean, 7-6, 7-5, 7-5. I mean, those two 7-5s, I'm actually kind of shocked that the score was even that close because he was just dominant on the serve, and hitting his second serve was impressive.
Yeah, it was interesting. All right, 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals. Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports the way on Twitter. Are the Bucks getting more than one game in this series? I'm still thinking they get at least one game, huh?
I think they get a Sunday's game. I'm not going to say they're going to get both games because in NBA Finals, you just one game at a time. Unless for some odd reason Giannis wasn't playing in Game 3 because of his knee, then you can say bring out the broom. But I think they get Sunday's game, make it 2-1. Then we have a brand new series because so far home court will hold for the first three games.
I think it's been impressive what the Suns have done. One of the questions of the day we threw out there today, Rafael, is just a flash in the pan, lightning in the bottle thing, or do you think the Suns are here to stay to be a team to contend in the Western Conference for championships?
Oh, they're going to get free agents that are going to want to go play with Chris Paul and Booker. They're going to be, I think, some free agents that maybe thought maybe going to New York or L.A. or something like that. They're going to pick up the phone call and talk to CP3 and say, hey, how's it like playing in the Valley? Is it really that hot in the summer? I think Phoenix is going to be around, just like I think Utah is going to be around as well.
Uh-oh. I don't know if LeBron wants to hear that. I don't know if LeBron wants to hear that now.
I'm shocked that your poll today wasn't how bad does New Orleans want to push Zion out, but they won't let his build an extra floor for his mom can have a movie theater in the Garden District.
Well,
come on,
you know,
people.
You just moved it a quarter.
He needs a bigger gym. Did you see the floor plan on Rafael?
He should know. Rafael should know. I mean, how many commissions and people did you have to grease some palms in order just to, be able to move in over there?
I agree, but I'm a nobody. If Zion brings in billions and millions and millions of dollars,
well, it doesn't matter. Hey, you cannot mess with the city skyline. You can't mess with it's ridiculous. I'm with you.
Then that's why the Seattle Pelicans will have.
Oh, that's all the time we have for Rafael. That's it. Look, it's 1:31. That's nothing to do with what you just said. At VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow on Twitter. Guess what I'm having tonight for dinner.
It's Friday. I know what you're having for dinner. Grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Nope. Your favorite sushi.
Pizza?
Your favorite sushi. I'm telling you. I do it every Friday.
Oh, you're going to say a hot dog.
I know. Yeah, what is wrong with you?
What?
Badminton. Rafael, whenever you want to come have sushi, weekend. Man. You have a safe weekend as well whenever you want to come over.
Will do.
I think he's afraid of McQueen.
He better be. He almost took his hand off.
Well, that was when he was a puppy. The teeth aren't as sharp anymore. Still bites.
Beg to differ.
And look, I don't have any scars anymore.
Actually, I have a lot of scars from sticks.
Oh, from sticks? Does he still have the shark teeth sharp?
No, he's still teething, though.
Oh, okay. So mine's got the normal teeth now, so it's good. It just hurts. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Kiss me, baby. Let the fire get higher.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
It's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do, but the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Not good. Well, now you can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month. All on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
If you're looking to switch up your body wash, then look no further than the new Dove Men plant-based body wash. It's not like all the other body washes you've tried. It uses plant-based cleansers and moisturizers to keep men's skin more healthy and hydrated. It comes in three incredible scent combinations: eucalyptus oil and cedar, lime and avocado oil, and charcoal and clove. Relax your body and mind and shower with Dove Men's new plant-based body wash. Buy it now at Walmart or Target. Dove Men Plus Care is a proud sponsor of the 2021 ESPY Sports Humanitarian Award.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
2 wins away from a championship for Chris Paul, Monty Williams, Devin Booker, and the Suns.
I do a pretty good job of staying in the moment. You know, maybe a lot of the guys on our team, this is their first playoff series. You know, they don't know the heartache or the heartbreak. They just out there playing. So for me, I know how quick things can change. I know how a possession or a play can change the dynamics of an entire series. So for me, I don't get too high. I don't get too low. I just stay even keel. Wasn't always like that, you know, but I know that these situations don't happen every day.
At Will Guillory is the way to follow. Will Guillory of The Athletic covers the New Orleans Pelicans in the NBA. Joins us this afternoon. Will, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How about you?
You saw the emotion. I'm doing well, man. Thank you. He showed it when they won the Western Conference. You know, he got choked up there. You saw him hugging it out and the tears. I imagine we'll see like a very Jordan-like celebration if they win two more when he fell on the floor. I guess when it was, you know, after he lost his dad, where just the emotion overtakes you. You can feel it, but Will, this team looks like they're on the mission, huh?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I think you can definitely say they're playing their best basketball at the most important time of the season. And, you know, those performances like Mikal Bridges having 27 points, the clip with Monty talking to DeAndre Ayton, it's starting to feel like, you know, this is all the stuff we usually see from a championship team, right? When you put that DVD out after the season to commemorate the title, these are all the moments that you kind of see typically. But, man, I feel like we kind of just Milwaukee came out so many times, and I was, you know, over and over again screaming, there's no way they're going to beat Brooklyn. And there's no way they can bounce back after Giannis got hurt in that Atlanta series. So I know they're resilient, so I'm not counting them out yet. But that Phoenix team, man, they're good.
I was going to say, I mean, look, 42 points by Giannis. I thought he played like an MVP in the first quarter of game one after not playing for a week, man, with that scary injury. The Bucks, if they wouldn't be facing what I think could be a potential Hall of Fame backcourt, I don't know where Booker's going to go. He has a nice start to his career. CP's in the Hall. If that eventually becomes a Hall of Fame backcourt, you might be sitting there going, man, wrong team at the wrong time. But that's my question of the day that I'm throwing out to NBA listeners, Will, and I want you to answer it for me. Is this a flash in a pan, lightning in a bottle thing, or do you think the Suns are a legit team that can contend for championships for a while? Are we seeing the next team that's going to be involved in title games?
Oh, there's no question. I think they're going to be around because Devin Booker's special. I mean, we see it. That guy's an incredible scorer. He embraces the moment. He scores from every level of the court, and I think it's difficult to really find the right type of matchup for him because of the way they use him. And, of course, a big part of the equation is CP. I mean, you know, he's not getting any younger, so we don't know what this team's going to look like once he retires. But I think with the way he's playing, we can say he's got at least one or two more years in him. And to have that kind of weapon as your point guard, which, you know, frees up Devin Booker to do all the things he can do as a scorer, and then DeAndre Ayton coming into his own at the center position. They've got great young players like Mikal Bridges. I think there's no question this team's going to be around. This isn't a flash in the pan type of thing. The ultimate question is, you know, how much does CP have left, you know, after this crazy season, making the deepest playoff run he's ever made in his career? How much does his body have left in him? You know, but there's no question Devin Booker's special, man. Like I said, I think he's going to be around for a long time, hitting big shots in big games. It's just a matter of how deep he can carry this team once Chris Paul is gone.
Speaking with Will Guillory at The Athletic, covers the NBA and your New Orleans Pelicans. Look, we've touched on this since the playoffs began when the Pelicans were eliminated. I said, I don't think you can help but watch with Pelican-colored glasses here, right? You look at how what teams are doing, what's winning, and where the Pels are in relation. One of the things that stands to me, and we talked about this yesterday on the show, you know, David Griffin's three principles that he touched on yesterday, or at the end of the season, right? Toughness, basketball IQ, and shooting. And you remember Zion's answers like, well, yeah, duh, there's other things too. And he alluded to coaching, which we'll get to in a quick second. I came up with three of my own yesterday, man, in watching this team that I think are just as important. Leadership, accountability, and buy-in. I think I just described the Suns.
No question. And I think all of that goes into what we talked about before, accepting your role. That's what we talked about so much with DeAndre Ayton throughout this playoff run. How many number one picks, you know, are willing to play the role he plays for this Phoenix team, where he's not worried about his shots. He's not worried about getting post-ups. He's not crying, you know, when CP gets to switch and he doesn't get a touch. I think he accepts his role. Mikal Bridges is a guy who can, you know, probably score a few more points if he played on a different team, but he accepts his role. He understands how to excel on this team. You can go down the line with all of those guys. Jay Crowder, a vet in this league, he knows the role he's supposed to play. And I think that's some of the things we talk about with this Pelicans team so often. What type of role does Brandon Ingram play on a winning team? What type of role does Jackson Hayes play on a winning team? Nikhil Alexander-Walker, I think those are the type of questions you've got to ask. I think we've talked about it before with this Pelicans team. I think all those guys like each other. They enjoy playing together. I don't think that's the issue where you have these personalities clashing. I just think it's a matter of understanding what you're supposed to do to be a winning team. I think, you know, all of those guys are capable of putting points up on the board, making those highlight plays for Instagram and stuff like that. But what can you do to help a team win, and how can you stay in that box? I think that's what the Pels have to figure out with this next coach and with their young guys, how to get the most out of them when you're winning.
The old phrase, Will, the little things. You hear that over and over again from these players, these Suns players specifically saying it, Booker saying it, Aiden saying it. So it must matter. I'm going to get to the coach next, but you mentioned roster breakdown. We did this on the whim, kind of just when the show started, Matt. 93 mil is the price tag for the Pelican starting five this past season. The Suns starting five's 92. I brought up guys like Mikal Bridges that you said, 24 years old, $4 million, right? Cameron Johnson, 25 years old, $4 million. You look at other guys have contributed. Cameron Payne, $1.9 million, 26 years old. It's a lot of youth on this team, not a lot of money in terms of just throwing it out there for a lot of different players. And I think that's just as important, man. Yeah, you got to have your franchise players. But, man, you got to give credit to management here. They found steals. I don't know how else to say it. They stole players with today's money and age to come in and absolutely fill this roster out.
Yeah, there's no question. You took the words right out of my mouth. I think you got to give James Jones a ton of credit for the way he built this roster. And, of course, you know, Chris Paul is at the forefront of the biggest move he's made since he took over that team. But he's also the guy that drafted DeAndre Ayton with the number one pick. You know, when Luka Doncic was out there, when Trae Young was out there. Sure, those guys might be better just overall talent than DeAndre Ayton. But when you look at the fit next to Devin Booker and how those guys can play together for the next 10 years, that was an excellent pick. Cam Johnson was the guy a lot of people were laughing at him draft that. I remember that was the night that the Pelicans took Zion Williamson. Everybody was shocked that Cam Johnson went that high. He's been an incredible role player for this team. Mikal Bridges, they went out and made that trade draft day to go get him as a young wing for this team. You got to give James Jones a ton of credit for that one. So I think he's not only, of course, the stars are what gets you to this stage. And, of course, you know, again, Devin Booker and Chris Paul are the guys getting all the headlines. But you don't win at the highest level unless you can surround your stars with the right types of players to bring out the best in them. And I think James Jones has done an incredible job putting the right type of role players around his stars and putting role players in place that when they need to, they can step up and make big plays. They can go have big nights like Bridges had last night, mm-hmm. but they can also fulfill their role and understand, hey, some nights I'm not only going to take five shots, man. I got to be happy with that. Some nights, you know, I might not get a shot the entire second half, but guess what? If Devin Booker's going, I got to help him. And again, I think that's what great teams do. They understand their roles and they play them. And it's not a matter of, you know, guys beefing because of shots or, you know, minutes. It's a matter of doing what's best for the team. And I think we've seen that from this Phoenix Suns squad all season.
It's easy to root for, man. Final thing for you, we'll address it here because, as you know, you've heard the other phrase, right? Jimmy and the Joes, not the X's and O's. You got to have talent. So that's the first thing David Griffin's got to do. You got to get a good roster together. And you got to get the right person to get that roster to play together and play to its performance. Last week we had Fletcher on when he was out there tweeting, "Hey, Willie Green's the name I'm hearing." We played some sound from an interview at the beginning of training camp. I got sold. If they win two more games, he would have won three NBA championships as a member on a staff with the Warriors, with two under Steve Kerr and this one. Egos, youth, growth, pressure, dealing with expectations. He's been around it and been under two pretty good coaches. Will, I'm struggling to find a reason why the next Pelicans head coach shouldn't be Willie Green.
Yeah, I mean, when you lay it out like that, I think you're exactly right. I mean, he's been around superstar players in this league. Remember, when he took that job at Phoenix, they weren't a title contender. No. You know, they were a team that was up and coming, and he helped those young guys. You've heard, you know, multiple times Mikal Bridges throughout this season talk about the role Willie Green has played on him and helping, you know, understand the game a little bit better, knowing how to play his role, what we just talked about. And you know, obviously he's been on the biggest stages. He knows what it looks like, what your stars have to do to execute on this high level. Of course, those are conversations you want him to have with a guy like Zion Williamson or Brandon Ingram, right? You know, I was there when Kevin Durant did this in the finals. So I was there when Chris Paul had this conversation with our guys. You know, I think those experiences are huge. And also, you know, Willie Green's a guy who's been in New Orleans. He played on a team in New Orleans that went to the playoffs. So he knows what the city looks like when they have a team that they're behind and what it takes to win in New Orleans. So I think he fits in so many different ways. I just think the bigger question is, one, you know, what type of relationship can he build with Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram? That's going to be the question with any hire they make. And two, can he do enough to get this team to buy in defensively? Because we know the offensive talent this group has. You can go up and down the line. All of those guys can score. But it's about defending. Can you get Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram to buy in defensively? Can you get those other guys to buy in? I think that's the big thing. You know, it's a little bit easier when you have those names like a Chris Paul, like a Devin Booker, who can get your guys to buy in. But when you're brought into New Orleans and you're expected to be that voice in the locker room, I think it's going to be a different type of challenge. But I think Willie Green has got the experience that suggests he can take that on. I think it would be a great hire if they can make it happen.
Will, as we wrap up, man, it's hard to not think that when you're around people like that, like Steve Kerr, Willie Green can't get that with around Monty Williams. You know, you even retweeted the Monty conversation with Ayton on the court. It just, the more I think about it, somebody that's around there like that, I think it's almost exactly what this team needs. Again, my three principles: leadership, accountability, and buy-in. He's been on two teams that have done that and have had to do that. So let's see what happens, man. I appreciate your time on this Friday.
Man, no question, man. We just got to figure out who's the real Willie G in New Orleans if he comes around. Because, you know, I've been here a little longer than Willie Green. We're going to have that discussion when we get here. I love it.
At Will Guillory, the way to follow on Twitter. Maybe he'll be writing about Willie Green real soon, man. Have a good weekend, sir.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. Some Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. You were my thrills, you were my
kiss, you got the bomb on me. You've heard it hundreds of times.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana.
But what does that mean exactly? And what kind of things can you expect from the largest diamond store in Louisiana?
For one thing, it means we can show you the ring itself, not just a photo from a catalog or a picture online.
And it means that no matter what color, clarity, or carat weight of diamond you're looking for,
we've got it right here, right now, at the right price.
It means we have every possible diamond from diamond mines.
And every possible created diamond from plasma chambers.
Right here, right now, at the right price.
It means we have those really hard-to-find diamonds.
Like oval diamonds, emerald-cut diamonds, and pear-shaped diamonds.
Truth be told, we probably have more ovals, emeralds, and pears than all the other stores combined.
Can you prove that?
No, but I'm sure I'm right.
Don't be saying it if you can't prove it. This is Ramsey's Jewelers.
Right here, right now, at the right price.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the red hot deals.
Red hot deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
PCM, Pipeline Construction and Maintenance of Houma, is now hiring. Our team is in need of experienced field personnel, including superintendents, excavator operators, hydrovac operators in Houma and Lafayette, vacuum truck operators in Lafayette, CDL drivers in Houma and Lafayette, riggers, and skilled laborers. Our West Louisiana-based EMP division is in need of foremen and roustabouts. Qualified candidates can apply at pcminc.com/careers.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
You know what? I apologize, Jordan Kleber. We've gone way too long without a football mention.
Football?
Yes, I know we're 3 weeks away from training camp. And Jeff Darlington, he has some thoughts on some guy named Jameis Winston.
I'm hearing good things about where Jameis is at right now. And I think training camp will be a good dictator of how that's really shaping up. But to me, I don't know. It's hard for me to envision, like, Taysom Hill beating out Jameis Winston in a traditional quarterback competition. Like, Jameis is a pedigree quarterback, man. Like, and I know that – here's the other thing I think about with Jameis, why I think that he could succeed.
Jordan, what did I just point to?
11-6.
No, that's not what I was pointing to.
Oh, Jameis Winston's a Pro Bowler.
Pro Bowler, baby! Y'all can laugh at me all y'all want. Traquan Smith, what is he doing?
He's practicing.
No. Sticky note.
Oh, yeah, sticky note. Traquan Smith will have 10 TD catches.
10 touchdowns.
50 targets.
I'm telling you. Did you hear the glee in Jeff Darlington's voice? Huh? Did you hear it? I'm hearing good things. You heard him? At the very beginning of that.
I'm hearing good things about where Jameis is at right now.
Uh-huh. I'm hearing good things about where he's at.
I'm glad.
I'm telling you right now. Pro Bowler. You know, this morning, Scott Prather on ESPN 1420 was asking me as a guest on his show, which Saints player that hasn't been selected to a Pro Bowl did I think would be a Pro Bowler this year? Or would push to be a Pro Bowler? Now, can you believe there's two players, one on offense, one on defense, that have made all pro teams but not Pro Bowl teams? Demario Davis and Ryan Ramczyk have not made Pro Bowls, but they were on all pro teams. So
I do remember that Demario Davis being a thing.
So I'm discounting that. I actually said Marcus Williams. And I said that for this reason. The club franchise tagged him. Right? I mean, we've had Jordan, you know me, beginning of last season, the bench seat was perpetually named the Marcus Williams seat, right? You know how every...
Have a seat next to coach.
Right. Every Monday we do a, you know, game ball, pat on the back, and who has to have a seat next to coach? We named that seat the Marcus Williams seat, just like for the Pels, we named it the Eric Bledsoe bench. But my point is, we got some discussions, right? I mean, everyone kind of seems to try to convince me and everybody that he is one of the top safeties in the NFL. He's a franchise-tagged player by the Saints. Apparently a new big deal is on its way, and that he's good. I see a different game, okay? I just do. I'm not saying he's terrible. I'd say middle of the pack, maybe. If he was his rookie year was incredible. Always. I mean, the ball never got behind him. I mean, he always seemed to be at the right place at the right time. But like when I think of Marcus Williams right now, if I say give me one thing to describe, I'm like, guy can't tackle. Like he literally might be one of the worst tackles in the NFL. And he's your free safety. Like literally, right? I mean, he's known for diving his shoulder into the ground, head down, don't know where the body is. And I'm not even talking about the Minnesota play.
Yeah, that's what we're mainly talking
about. No, I'm not. I'm talking about last season. Anyway, this isn't to disparage him. I'm saying I've been just told, like, again, you know, you know how I feel about this. When you constantly have to sell me a player, how good is he? I'm constantly being sold Lonzo Ball, right? Great defender. He's one of the upping. I'm constantly being sold about Marcus Williams. All right. Well, then, here you go.
Let's see it.
Well, your franchise tag this year, you want a long-term contract. There you go. You make the Pro Bowl this year. You're a Pro Bowl-style player. You have a season where you're being discussed as a snub to the Pro Bowl. That's just as good as making the Pro Bowl, right? If people feel you got snubbed, that means you had a good season. If Marcus Williams is spoken about in the context pretty much by everybody, where he had a Pro Bowl season, all pro, Pro Bowl, but specifically Pro Bowl, then he would have had a really good season. He has his long-term contract, right? I hope he does. I think there's a lot of skill there. I really honestly do. I think it's upstairs. Trying to do too much, maybe. I don't know. But we saw the athletic ability and skill. Now, the tackling, my goodness. I mean, seriously, I hope he spent all offseason, like, tackling things. I mean, you know? But I legitimately think, of all players, like, name me a player, because I wanted to go with the receiver. I wanted to go with other things. But in the NFC, there's a lot of different, like, tight end. Could it be Troutman or something? Just a lot of good tight ends in the NFC. So, I mean, you have to really beat him. I only get, what, 2-3 spots? Mm-hmm. I mean, so, but safety, I mean, there could be an opening there. That's why I went Marcus Williams. Who would you say is a Saints player that has not been named a Pro Bowler that could push for a naming this year? Who'd you say? You mouthed Marcus Davenport. He had him in close to being named as a Pro Bowler.
Marcus Davenport.
No, he's being labeled a bust. Yeah, no, he hasn't been named as a Pro Bowler.